colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to our conference call of BMW AG second quarter 2018. We have here Harald Schröder, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Nicolas Peter, Member of the Board of Management of BMW AG in charge of finance. The gentlemen will start by giving you an overview of business development, and after that, as always, you have the opportunity to ask your questions. The floor is Mr. Schröder.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At BMW Group, we have clear targets, and we always deliver on our promises. Our sights remain fixed on the long term. We are anticipating what mobility will look like in 10 to 15 years down the road, and we're taking the necessary decisions today. Our strategy number one, Next, gives us a clear direction and maps out our long-term goals. Volatility, uncertainty have both been part of our daily business for a long time now. However, our strategy enables us to adjust to short-term changes in our business environment. This flexible framework has been key to the BMW Group's success so far. We respond to new demands early and set the trends. Let me give you a few examples. A shift towards sustainable mobility with efficient dynamics since 2007. Second, our pioneering role in e-mobility. In the first half of 2018, the i3 was once again the top-selling electric vehicle in the premium compact segment. We currently offer customers 10 electric or plug-in hybrid models. Since the start of this year, we have delivered more than 60,000 electrified vehicles to customers, an increase of over 40% year-on-year. We're therefore on track to meet our declared goal of at least 140,000 vehicles this year. Other fully electric models are also ready to go. We will release the MINI Electric late next year, followed by 2020 with the first fully electric BMW, the iX3. Third, expanding our mobility services into a strong business segment that will complement our core business. The planned joint venture with the Daimler Group is the next logical step. Together, we will take innovative mobility services to a whole new level. Fourth, our focus on achieving the most balanced distribution of sales possible with local production in the main economic regions of Europe, the Americas, and Asia. This gives us greater flexibility in the current trade disputes. Our global production network opens up various possibilities for us. The new BMW X3 is now also being built in Shenyang and Rosslyn, as well as our Spartanburg plant. Switching BMW models to the new WLTP test procedure. With the exception of just a few model variants, we have already switched several hundred models well ahead of the September deadline. Since we integrated the WLTP switch into our production and sales planning early, we are able to offer our fleet customers the same wide range of products as usual. Delivery times for our models are thus the usual 3 months. We have also around 190 models that already meet the Euro 6d temp emission standards. Our forward planning underscores how we put the interests of our customers first at BMW. It also makes it quite clear that we face challenges head-on, regardless of where they come from. With our strategy, we're pursuing a clear vision to be number one, and we're steering the BMW Group according to several performance indicators crucial for our success. Three aspects are especially important to us: profitability, growth, and future competitiveness. In 2017, we were the world's most profitable car company. That is why we are able to continue investing in our future. We have the same aim for the current business year. In the first half of 2018, group earnings before tax exceeded 6 billion euros. The EBIT margin in the automotive segment remains within our target range of 8% to 10%. Group EBT margin stands at 12.7% and is therefore above our target of 10%. Growth is very important in the highly competitive premium segment. We are targeting profitable growth and leadership in all segments where we do business. Between January and June 2018, with our three brands, BMW, MINI, and Rolls-Royce, we delivered more vehicles to customers than ever before in the first 6 months of a year. We are securing our future competitiveness by strengthening our brands and creating innovations, especially for autonomous driving and e-mobility. The work at our autonomous driving campus outside Munich is in full swing. In May, we became the first international car maker to receive a license from the city of Shanghai to test autonomous driving. Early next year, we will open our new battery cell competence center in Munich. This is where we will focus all our technological expertise in the development and production of battery cells, which are the heart of the battery. In a highly volatile environment, we are constantly finding the right balance between all three proof points: profitability, growth, and future competitiveness. Recently, the business environment in which we operate has become even more challenging. Despite this, our operating business remains strong because our strategy enables us to maintain our course even through difficult conditions. For 2018, our goals remain unchanged. A slight increase in automotive deliveries to a new all-time sales high. Group earnings before tax at the same high level as the previous year and an EBIT margin in the automotive segment of between 8 and 10%. Of course, these goals assume that economic and political conditions will not worsen any further. The BMW Group remains committed to free trade and open markets. Our global presence enables us to remain agile and flexible. More than ever, we're looking at different scenarios and are taking advantage of opportunities in the major regions. China is our most important single market and leads the way in e-mobility and connectivity. In the recent weeks, we've laid the path for important strategic steps. We'll be expanding and strengthening our business in China over the long term. Firstly, we're expanding our joint venture with BBA. We will increase our capacity to 520,000 vehicles. Moreover, the first fully electric X3 will be exported from China also to other markets. We're the first international car company to receive an agreement from the Chinese government allowing us to increase our stake in a joint venture from 2022. Secondly, we have agreed to a 50-50 joint venture with Chinese manufacturer-grade Wall Motor, and we plan to build electric minis together. The joint venture will also produce electric models for Great Wall. This is a logical step into the electric future for MINI. Thirdly, we've signed a memorandum of understanding with Baidu. The BMW Group will gain a seat on the board of Apollo, which is Baidu's open platform for automated driving. Fourth, we have awarded CATL a contract worth a total of 4 billion euros. CATL will build the largest battery cell plant in Germany and will supply battery cells for our BMW iNEXT from 2021 on. This means the entire value chain for production of electrified vehicles will be located here in Germany. This will be essential for expanding our leading position in e-mobility. We will also be purchasing raw materials for battery cells ourselves, especially cobalt, in the future. As you can see, we have enhanced our presence in China in a single stroke. At the same time, we're implementing our strategy in other market regions. Our largest plant is located in the US. We remain committed to our investment and expansion plans there. Going forward, we will build up to 450,000 vehicles a year in Spartanburg, and we will remain a net exporter. That means we will continue to produce more vehicles in Spartanburg than we sell in the US. The new X7 will also contribute to our growth strategy. In all three major sales regions, Europe, America and Asia, we reported growth in the first half of the year. Europe remains our largest sales region. That's why we decided to build a new BMW plant in Hungary. After significant investments in China, Mexico and the US, we want to grow worldwide. And we're now also focusing on our activities in Europe. This ensures our worldwide balance of our production between Asia, America and our home continent. The new plant will set new standards in digitization, sustainability and flexibility, and will also lead the way in new technologies. The foundation of our worldwide success is our strong model initiative. I'm certain that the new Z4 will be turning heads in 2019. Journalists just testing prototypes. Beginning with the X2, 2018 is our year of the X. We will offer three additional models. The new X4 has been on the market since July. The new X5 will be released in November. And production of the all-new X7 will get underway towards the end of the year. This shows our clear commitment to fulfill our customers' increasing demand for SAVs. With the consistent expansion of our luxury segment, we have another ace up our sleeve. The new i8 Roadster is fresh on the market. With the new 8 Series model range, production of the new BMW 8 Series Coupe is already underway. Market launch is scheduled for November. This will be followed in 2019 by the convertible and Grand Coupe, as well as the corresponding M models, and all of them showcase our new design language. Rolls-Royce will also be releasing the Cullinan. Media resonance and numerous pre-orders show that the Cullinan perfectly reflects the pinnacle of luxury in the new off-road segment. In the second half of the year, there's even more to come. Our new iNEXT Vision vehicle, revealing new horizons. As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, we're driving full speed ahead in the major regions of the world with innovative technologies and with new products. We continue to follow our strategic roadmap and remain highly flexible. Thank you. Thank you. Now over to Dr. Peter. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. The BMW Group is on course to meet its targets for the year. As part of our corporate strategy, we remain fully committed to using our financial strength to invest in the future. The technologies we develop today will make us even more competitive in the future. Our clear strategic focus is on electromobility and autonomous driving. As expected, these high upfront investments have affected our earnings development. R&D costs for the first half of the year are about 300 million euros higher than for the same period last year. As previously announced, we faced headwinds from currency and commodity prices. Nevertheless, the BMW Group continued its solid performance in the first half of 2018. The company achieved a strong EBT margin of 12.7% at group level. Pre-tax earnings once again exceeded the 6 billion euro mark. In the automotive segment, the EBIT margin for the year to the end of June was also within our target range at 9.2%. We're systematically addressing the challenges resulting from the current geopolitical environment. Volatility has become a given in our business, and we have shown time and again we know how to deal with such circumstances and were able to respond flexibly to the ever-changing conditions. At the same time, we continue to maintain our strong financial footing, which enables us to make the right decisions quickly. That makes us flexible and successful. The BMW Group posted solid earnings for the first 6 months of 2018. Due to negative currency effects, group revenues decreased by 4% year-on-year to around 47.72 billion euros. Research and development spending, including capitalized development costs and minus depreciation, increased to 2.76 billion euros to the end of June. The income statement impact from R&D costs in the first half of the year amounted to 2.61 billion euros. This is an increase of 312 million euros, or 14% over the same period last year. The R&D ratio for the first half year stands at 5.8%. This is higher than the figure for the previous year and for the first quarter. As previously announced, the ratio will reach around 7% by the end of the year. This increase is mainly driven by preparations for the fifth generation of the electric drivetrain, continued development of our flexible rear and front wheel drive architectures, autonomous driving, and development activities for the 8 Series model range and the new X vehicles. We also expect capital expenditure to reach a new all-time high in 2018. The main reasons are the ongoing construction of the plant in Mexico and the large number of model ramp-ups. This includes significantly increasing capacity for our X models. By the end of June, we had invested a total of 1.58 billion euros, mainly in property, plant and equipment. This amounts to around 120 million euros more than in the previous year. The CapEx ratio was higher than in the first 6 months of 2017 at 3.3%. For the full year, we expect a ratio of around 5%. Despite these negative effects, pre-tax earnings totaled 6.04 billion euros for the first 6 months, and around 2.87 billion euros for the second quarter. Both the EBT margin of 11.5 for the quarter and 12.7 for the first half year were above our 10% target. Ladies and gentlemen, now let's take a look at the individual segments, starting with the automotive segment. In the first half of 2018, we delivered more than 1.2 million vehicles to customers. All major sales regions reported growth. The slight downward trend in revenues is mainly due to currency headwinds and the intensely competitive environment. Adjusted for currency effects, revenues were up by 2.4%. To make rapid progress in future technologies, we also continued to hire qualified staff in the second quarter. As I already mentioned, we once again increased research and development spending. At the same time, we're currently in the process of modernizing and standardizing our IT landscape. Despite these higher costs for future projects, additional currency headwinds and intense competition, the automotive segment's operating earnings remained high at 3.8 billion euros. In the second quarter, we were once again able to offset some of the high additional costs through efficiency measures. The EBIT margin of 9.2% for the first half of the year and 8.6% for the quarter are within our target range. Thanks to new models like the 5 Series, the BBA joint venture contributed around 100 million euros more to earnings than the previous year. Overall, BBA sales increased by around 15% to more than 215,000 units. The model initiative also had a positive impact on pricing. Pre-tax earnings for the first half year totaled around 4.34 billion euros. With a free cash flow of 1.94 billion euros in the automotive segment at the half-year mark, we are on track to meet our target for the year of more than 3 billion euros. The financial services segment continued to perform well. Since the start of the year, the total portfolio has increased by 2.3% to more than 5.5 million contracts. More than 930,000 new contracts were concluded with customers in the first half of the year. The penetration rate was on par with the previous years at 47.4%. Second quarter pre-tax earnings climbed by 2.7% to €605 million. We also remain well positioned on the risk side. Our credit loss ratio remains low and residual values of our leasing portfolio have developed as expected. For all risks, we have made appropriate provisions. Let's take a brief look at the motorcycle segment. Business development in the first half year was affected, among other things, by the ramp-ups for various model changes. In the year to the end of June, motorcycle sales therefore decreased slightly. Despite these effects, the second quarter EBIT margin of 14.9% was still on par with last year's. The segment EBIT for the first 6 months totaled €175 million. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now turn to our outlook. New products will generate positive sales momentum in the second half of the year. The 5 Series is now fully available in China. The new locally produced X3 has also just been launched. We will thus be doubling our capacity for the X3 and X4 to around 400,000 units per year over the medium term. More major launches are planned up in the autumn and winter, with important high-margin models like the X5, X7 and new 8 Series and the Rolls-Royce Cullinan in the pipeline. We are on schedule with the WLTP transition, which is almost complete. Against this background, we are able to confirm our guidance for the current year. Of course, we continue to monitor the current trade situation very closely. If conditions deteriorate any further, we cannot rule out effects on our guidance. At group level, we expect earnings before tax to be on par with the high level of the previous year. In the automotive segment, despite high R&D costs and significant headwind from the strong euro, we anticipate a slight increase in deliveries and revenues. We also expect the EBIT margin to remain within the corridor of 8-10%. In the motorcycle segment, bolstered by new products, we expect to see a slight increase in deliveries with an EBIT margin in the range of 8-10%. And in the financial services segment, we're aiming for a return on equity above our target figure of 14%. Ladies and gentlemen, profitability, growth and innovation are the cornerstones of our business success. The BMW Group aspires to be a clear technology leader. To achieve this, we're using our financial resources to make investments targeted for the future success. Our business environment will remain volatile. However, challenging conditions are always an opportunity to leverage competitive advantages and to capitalize on new ones. Our strategic focus remains clear and we continue to maintain our guidance for the full year. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Peter. Ladies and gentlemen, we now have time to take your questions. I would like to ask the colleagues to give you the technical information for the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin with our Q&A session. If you'd like to ask a question, press your telephone buttons 0 and 1. Your questions will be taken in the order received. In order to withdraw a question, push the buttons 0 and 2. If you're listening over the loudspeaker, I would like to ask you to pick up the receiver to ask your question. Thank you, and just a minute for the first question. First question, Stefan Kronig, Börsenzeitung. Your line's open. Good morning, everyone. Just got one question concerning the outlook for 2018. Peter, you already mentioned second half of the year, especially sales are to contribute to achieving the year's guidance. Are there further effects, R&D or other effects, where you could say that might help to achieve the goal? Thank you, Mr. Kronig. Dr. Peter, please. Well, second half of the year, Mr. Kronig, you mentioned this, positive effects, especially in view of the very good product momentum. Launch of the X3 will make its contribution to keep us well on track in the important market of China. Now, the R&D rate, we maintain our guidance here. That'll be around 7% of automotive sales to the end of the year. But I think it's the mix that will generate positive momentum, and we also continue to consistently work on enforcing our prices in all sales regions. Thank you. Next question, please. David McHugh, Associated Press. Your line is open. Good morning. How much trust do you have in the ceasefire between Trump and Juncker because of the trade dispute? Thank you. Mr. Krüger, please. Well, David, I think it was a good step in the talks between Mr. Juncker and the American president. Now, we'll just have to wait and see. At BMW Group, we are planning based on different scenarios here. Let me emphasize that we are the major net exporter from the U.S. So in the U.S., we produce more cars and sell less in the U.S. than we produce there, but the trade situation will certainly remain volatile. So we just have to wait and see, and I hope that these talks, that there'll be a constructive dialogue. Thank you. Next question, please. Next question from Max Hägler, Süddeutsche Zeitung. Your line is open. Good morning, gentlemen. I've got three questions. Firstly, Elon Musk said BMW is not on his radar at all when it comes to autonomous driving. That was kind of not a very friendly statement. So you have a chance to fight back, haven't you? So I'd like to know about that. Then, internal diesel investigations because of the two models with the software. What's the status there? The public prosecutor seems to be pretty relaxed about it, as we were able to read in the press today. So what's your view of this based on your own internal investigations? And then you said there's more deliveries in the first half of the year, but 2 billion less sales or revenues. Can you explain that again? Why is there that reduction, you know, in your figures? Thank you, Mr. Hägler. I propose Elon Musk and the diesel issue, Mr. Kluger, and then Mr. Peter. Mr. Kluger first. Well, Mr. Hägler, autonomous driving. Since 2016, we've been in that cooperation with Intel and Mobileye. There's now a few companies on that platform. The last partner to join us will be Fiat Chrysler. Most recently, that has been decided, so the shares of the participants of our autonomous driving platform is growing. There's intensive movement here. So if Mr. Musk doesn't see that, then that's his problem and not mine. And we're also developing or continuing to develop the Level 2 systems with the X5. There'll be new Level 2 Plus systems. We're right on track here, from my point of view. And we will offer customer-relevant potential to the market. Everything is going according to plan here. Second question was about the diesel investigations. I can only repeat what I said at the AGM. There has, you know, been a mistake. The number of cars reduced from 11,700 to slightly below 8,000. That is correct, and what was reported this morning is also correct. And the software update has been approved by the authorities and is currently being implemented with our customers, and I have no more to say about it. Thank you, Mr. Kruger. Then Mr. Peter. Well, Mr. Hägler, about the revenues development, there's two effects that come into play here. First one is currency effects. Adjusted for currency effects, revenues or sales in the first quarter would have been increased by 2.4%. So would not have been reduced. And secondly, it must be taken into account that sales growth, especially in our joint venture, BBA, that's where it mostly took place. And that is not reflected in our sales figure. That's part of our financial result. Okay, thank you. Next question, please. Elisabeth Behrmann, Bloomberg News. Good morning, gentlemen. I've got three questions as well. Several times you mentioned the volatile environment. I'd like to know, can you give us further details concerning the trade disputes between the US and China? Can you quantify this, the amount of tariffs that you have to pay additionally? What effects do these have? And can you perhaps tell us how you be able to circumvent those by CKD production, for example? Secondly, I'd like to know, what's the sales momentum in China? What are you expecting here? In the first 6 months, it slowed down to 2.2%. So for the second 6 months, will that further increase? And my third question, Mr. Kruger, you mentioned mobility services that you want to bring to an entirely new level after the joint venture with Daimler's Car2Go. Can you further specify what you want to do there? Okay, I propose volatility environment and mobility services will be answered by Mr. Kruger and the momentum in China, Mr. Peter. Mr. Kruger, please. Well, Mrs. Behrmann, on the volatile environment and how we respond to that. The starting situation is this, the trade situation between US and China. I mean, we localized more than six models in China, the X1 in China, the X3 short and long version, then the 5 Series and the 2 active Tourer, the 1 Series Sedan, and now the X3 will be localized. So more than 80% of local production is already in China, and this will continue. Second part of the solution, for example, perhaps you're not aware of that, we're exporting X5s from Thailand to China. So the CKD approach, we're already taking that. And we've been doing that for a while. That wasn't based on the current trade situation, but we've always got the flexibility of the larger and smaller production network that we made use of in order to minimize those effects. And we've got a couple few more ideas, but it's too early to communicate those today. Second question on mobility services and more details about the joint venture with Daimler. Well, I can't give you many more details because this is still being checked by the cartel law authorities, but you can assume that we want to offer services to the customer for customer experience where there's one button the customer can press and he'll get a complete offer of mobility services. And we're convinced, together with Daimler, we'll be able to take a successful step forward and we can create customer experience that we haven't had yet. Thank you, Mr. Krüger. Now the sales momentum in China in the second half of the year. Mr. Peter, please. Mrs. Beermann, an additional comment on the trade dispute. I think with our strong footprint in the US and in China and in Europe, the BMW Group is in a pretty good position in that environment, and flexibility is part of our DNA, especially in the production network. Now, the momentum in China, we continue to assume there'll be solid growth, meaning between 5 and 10% growth in the Chinese market. This is mainly driven by two important products and also their contribution margin, which is firstly the 5 Series, which is very well received in China. It's fully available. Then the 5 Series plug-in hybrids, also developing very favorably, and we're selling that without any discounts in China. And then the X3, where we've got the ramp up now. X1 is also on a pretty good level. There's a certain volatility in the entire Chinese market, as you've seen towards the end of the first half of the year, but that's a current situation which is connected to the entire tariffs issue reduction from 25 to 15%, and there's certain restraint at the moment of the customers, but that's being resolved. Thank you, Mrs. Beermann. Next question, please. Edward Taylor from Reuters. Your line is open. Well, good morning. I have a question relating to China and relocation of production. As I've understood, X5 are now being shipped from Thailand to China, probably in order to circumvent the punitive tariffs that US have imposed. What's the volume we're talking about? Is that the entire export volume of X5s that you're compensating for here? Or could you also consider to localize the X5 in China? Then I have a question. Do you already know which products will be produced in the new plant in Hungary? Would that be a possible shift of production volume within the continent in Europe? Is that something you might contemplate? And are you hoping to achieve sales advantages due to the better product offer compared to your competitor Daimler because of WLTP? And how could that help you to be number one or become number one more quickly? Let me tell you, we're not performing any relocations or shifts at the moment. That is definitely not the case, no matter in which country or which region of the world. But now to answer your questions. X5 Thailand, Mr. Krüger, please. Well, Mr. Taylor, let me start with the advantages over competitors by WLTP. I do see them in the second half of the year. We've got regular waiting times of 3 months for our vehicles. And for competitors, it's a longer interruptions in their offerings. So that would have to result in opportunities for us. It's not quite clear yet how, but as I said in my initial statement, except for 3 models, we're done here. We've got a very high percentage that we've already dealt with, and that should give us opportunities for the second half of the year. Now back to the Thailand issue. You've misunderstood this. The production from Thailand X5 is going to China. We've had that for some time. That's not something that we've set up for short notice or that's just been going on for a couple of months. No, we've been doing this for a longer period of time. But that's just one example to touch on what Nicolas Peter said. This is flexibility of production in a network, and we keep making use of that. But let me repeat what Mr. Schreiber said. Currently, we're not shifting any locations or Hungary at this point. It's much too early to give you a name of a model, but let's assume the following. In Hungary, we decided to go there because we're expecting a further growth of our model initiative within the BMW Group. Secondly, we want to have an even distribution of worldwide production in terms of sales capacities. We've invested a lot in the US, and we're still taking the next steps up to 2021. In China, we've taken important decisions in favor of, you know, the direction BMW Group is heading, and also capacity decisions for e-vehicles and combustion engine vehicles. And it's quite logical, when there's growth that takes place in Europe, we also want to tap growth opportunities in Europe. And this is why we have the plant in Hungary. Thank you. Can you tell us still, will X5s, are they still being exported from the US to China? Yes, we're still doing that. We're still exporting X5s from the US to China that are affected by those import tariffs. Yes, we're still doing that. Mr. Taylor, a brief comment from me. We're about to significantly invest into the plant in Spartanburg to go to a capacity of 450,000 units. We're expanding the capacities there. All right, thank you. Next question, please. Gabriel Wirth, Bayerischer Rundfunk. Your line is open. Good morning. Three questions from me. You said you're planning based on different scenarios. Does that also apply to the Brexit? Because it looked like it's going to be a hard Brexit. Second question, how about diesel sales in Germany? How is that going? What's the development? And third question, you talked about product initiative. First 6 months, it was up by 0.7%. And for the annual goal, there's only a slight increase in sales intended. So when will that product initiative take full effect? Next year? Okay, first, Mr. Krüger, please. As far as the 0.7% is concerned, product initiative, this is the figure for Q2. 6 months was 1.8%, and for BMW brand, 2%. But we said momentum will come in second half of the year because the X3 from the Chinese production is only available in the second half of the year to correct the figures here. But we believe in growth, and this is why we've also got the plant in Hungary. Now, the diesel topic and the diesel figures in Germany, I guess that was your question. In Germany, there is a decline. In May 2017, we had 42%, and that went down to 32% share of diesel vehicles across for Europe. That's from 45% to 37%, and in the US the share of diesels increased from 1.8% to 2.2%, which is a very small percentage anyway. So worldwide there's also a decline, but the situation in the countries is very different. The major countries that are affected at the moment are Germany, the UK and France, and in the other countries it's not that pronounced. Then Brexit. Of course, we have different scenarios that we're preparing for. I spoke to Theresa May myself, and I also explained the complex situation of Brexit to her and what's necessary so that we can keep running our operations and which framework conditions we need. And we clearly said we need a position where we still have UK in a customs union. And that's a position I clearly uphold. And the product initiative will take its effects beginning 2019, some effects already end of 2018, full effects next year. Look at the X5. Full effect will come in 2019. All right, thank you. Thank you. Next question. A moment, please, Mr. Wirth. A misunderstanding. Mr. Krüger talked about worldwide sales diesel, and you wanted to know about Germany, right? Here we went from 61% down to 47%. So in Germany, from 61 to 47%. Thank you. Next question, please. Just one more comment, Mr. Wirth, on Germany. Orders received for diesel vehicles, they've stabilized. You know, there's a percentage decline, but over the last 2 months, our order book for diesel cars stabilized itself. And so orders received for the next few months, that has remained stable. You know, sometimes it just takes a little longer, but then it goes upwards again. Next question, please. Christian Hetzner, Automotive News. Your line is open. Thank you and good morning. I've got a couple of questions. Firstly, Mr. Dussmann, when can he go to Volkswagen? What does the loss mean to you? And will you perhaps change your anti-competition clauses in contracts with important managers because of that? Second question, tariffs. Can you already give us an idea what effects that will have on earnings, the tariffs for China? I know that's only in the third quarter, but perhaps you can give us an idea already. And can you say, you said you mentioned commodities or commodity prices in your speech earlier. What effect do tariffs on steel have on your production costs? Thank you. All right, I suggest I'll give an answer on Mr. Dussmann. I can say the following. Herr Dussmann has an existing contract. Everything else is up to the supervisory board of BMW. And until a successor has been found, Oliver Zipse is in charge of the supplier network and purchasing, in addition to being the board member for production. So much on that. And then effects on our earnings of the tariffs in China. Mr. Peter, okay. China tariff first, and then aluminium and steel tariffs. Mr. Hetzner, China tariffs. Well, on the one hand, these have effects in a small to mid three-digit million range, but you may have read that in the media. In view of this, we also decided for products that we export from the US to China, we decided to increase the prices by between 4 and 7% with immediate effect. Now, the effect of the tariffs on aluminium and steel, I'd say they're not too drastic, because about 3/4 of the aluminium and steel used in Spartanburg are purchased in the US anyway. Okay, thank you. And next question, please. Philip Vetter, Die Welt, your line is open. Well, good morning. Two additional questions. You just mentioned you raised prices in China because of the tariffs. Have you got any signals as to how that can even be enforced? Are there any reactions? Is there increasing or decreasing demand? And then it looks like you're doing much better than your competitors. Can you tell me exactly how did you do that? Did you just recognize the signs earlier? How did you manage to be in such a clearly better position than your competitors? And just to verify the numbers on the share of diesel cars. In Germany, that's from 61 down to 47, and the 41% that related to May, or could you clarify? Okay, let's start with the price increases in China, Dr. Peter, and then after that, Mr. Krüger. Okay, Mr. Vetter, it's a little too early. We've only just increased the prices as of 30th of July, so we cannot really perform a detailed analysis yet. But I assume that it'll work. Why? Because on the Chinese market, these are the models X4, X6, and then end of the year, the new X5. They're very attractive models. So I'm convinced that we can enforce those prices. Okay, now WLTP and share of diesel vehicles. Mr. Krüger. Well, on WLTP, well, Mr. Vetter, our culture is that we consistently accept such challenges. We try and act early. We took it seriously at an early stage. We also secured the test bench capacities early enough. We put a task force to work who professionally tackle the issue early, and the result is that we are now able to deliver, except for three models, and we always focus on the customer. We don't want to have any interruptions for the customers. And what's more, Mr. Vetter, we've now got 190 models that fulfill the emission standard, which comes into effect 1st of September 2019. So we secured capacities for it early. We have full management focus on it. That's why we were able to deliver. Now on the diesel figures. Again, to repeat this, the share of diesel sales in May 2017 were 61%, and that now dropped May 2018 to 47%. That's in Germany. June, July, we've seen a stabilization of order intake, also in absolute figures. It's too early yet to say we've got an overall stabilization, but I'm sure the decline has slowed. Thank you, Mr. Vetter. Next question, please. Irene Preisinger, Reuters. Good morning, gentlemen. Got a question on China. Well, the X7, once that comes, will there be a price markup in China, or is that already included in the new price? Then I'd like to know the cell suppliers. At the moment, you've got two, and you're talking with eight further manufacturers. When can we expect a decision here, and how many more will there be, one or two? Now, the plant in Hungary, I'd like to know, what does that mean for the plans for a plant in Russia? Will that come anyway, or does the plant in Hungary replace a possible new plant in Russia? And even if it's early now, can you already give us an outlook on 2019? Let's begin with China and the X7, Dr. Peter. Well, we're looking forward to the X7 for several reasons. Firstly, we've already received feedback from our distributors that there's great customer demand for the product in the United States, in China, and also in Europe. The X7 hasn't been launched yet, so we haven't got a price for it in China yet, and we will offer the X7 at a price that we have positive effects from it in terms of the contribution margin. Thank you. Next part of the question, the cell suppliers and effects plant Hungary or Russia and outlook on 2019. Mr. Krüger, please. Well, Mrs. Preisinger, I'll start with the cell suppliers. Currently, we've got two, that's CATL and Samsung. There's a contract more than $4 billion that we've awarded for CATL for, in, you know, that's in China for e-cars, but also for the plant in Thüringen, and we will be the first customer of CATL. We'll be getting battery technology for the next. So we've got two good partners here that we cooperate with very well. Sure, we're looking at others, but the number of cell suppliers will be fairly small because it's quite an effort to so much on the cell suppliers. Now, the effects, Hungary, Russia, no, these are two independent topics, independent decisions. In Russia, there's still ongoing negotiations. A decision hasn't been taken yet. We're talking with local and national authorities, and the decision in favor of Hungary was taken independently. We believe in growth of the BMW Group and the outlook 2019. I'd say it's too early, but I'll see what my colleague has to say. Well, Mrs. Preisinger, a guidance. I mean, as you know, it is definitely too early. We'll do that at the event in March 2019. But if you look at the product momentum that we will bring on the way in the next 2 months, the X3 in China, the 8 series, which will be launched, the X5, the new X5, then we're convinced that will be successful. And then the X7, definitely, it doesn't look bad. Let me add, guidance 2019, there's one thing. End of 2019, we want to have 500,000 electric vehicles on the road. So that's a consistent goal. This year, we want to sell more than 140,000, and by the end of 2019, we want to have 500,000 of these cars on the road. That could be a small guidance for 2019. So I interpret that to mean that you are confident and optimistic for 2019. Yes, BMW Group is very agile, very flexible with its production network, its structures within the group to react quickly to market changes. But we also believe in positive effects of our product initiative. Great, thank you. I'm being told there is one additional question here. Yes, that's from Max Hegler, Süddeutsche Zeitung. Again, an additional question on diesel and leasing. Off-lease vehicles, residual values and the volumes, and how do your distributors deal with that? In which books will these off-lease vehicles be posted, the ones with the diesel engines? Is that financial services, or do the dealers post them? How do you deal with it? How dramatic is the situation? Some dealers seem to be dissatisfied. Mr. Peter, please. Okay, residual values of diesel cars. My first comment here on the BMW Financial Services side, as I've already communicated at the last conferences, the portfolio of EU4, I mean, we no longer have those in the portfolio. The portfolio decreases. EU5 also less and less. So by the end of the year, that will be completely dissolved in Germany. The EU6 prices are much more stable, and we are having very good talks with the dealers, and activities and actions that we've initiated also help in order to stabilize the residual value situation with the diesel vehicles. We've still got time to take one further question. Markus Clausen, Dow Jones, your line is open. I have a question on your outlook. You have a larger range in terms of revenues and earnings. It's somewhat changed. In the past, you said revenues will not go down or not drastically go down. Now, I guess you will not reach the upper end of your target range, but you're saying earnings target will not be met and you're already giving a warning today? Well, thank you. Mr. Peter, please. Well, the guidance remains unchanged. That is the range. I think we've made it quite plain. On the one hand, especially on the product side, WLTP, new ramp-ups, we've got positive influences on our business. On the other hand, there's a certain volatility in the markets. And taken together, we are optimistic that we will stay exactly within our guidance or our range. Well, colleagues, that was a good summary by this Mr. Peters. I thank you for your interest. Have a nice summer. See you soon and goodbye.